short. I know time is short. We have a lot of simcha to bring to the world. So let's recharge our batteries. First of all, just one more thought about how taking is giving. How this beautiful idea of the berdichever, that when you kiss the mishloach manis, you're actually giving someone the greatest gift in the world. I think it's such a powerful idea. I was thinking about that on my way down to the kotel this morning, and I've been in a crazy mood. I've actually been a little down, and when I'm down, what I try to do is give, especially in Perm. So I was thinking, how can I give? I want to give to the world. I brought a banana and a cucumber, but like people don't really like that as much as I do. I'm like, how do I give to the universe? So on my way down here, I think I figured it out. There's this guy every day on Ben Yehuda Street at 8 in the morning or 7, whatever, he gives his newspaper out, Israel Hayom. And I never take the newspaper because I'm not interested in Israel Hayom. I just keep walking past him. But today I thought to myself, wow, if I took this newspaper and like gave him, like took off my, you know, shear and like looked at him and said, wow, thank you so much, good morning, like how much joy would I bring that guy? So I did. And I took his newspaper, and when he couldn't see anymore, I put it on the park bench so somebody else could read it. They're not really into politics. But the point I'm saying is that a lot of times we think giving is giving, but the truth is so often in life, giving is receiving. Giving is receiving and making the other person feel good. And knowing how to do that in a way that knowing how to receive and receiving is the biggest form of giving. And without further ado, I want to actually now talk about a mind-blowing idea that I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos about. And it's a secret to simcha on Purim and really throughout our lives. And it's based on a Rabbi Nachman teaching, but it's also based on the Relationship Handbook by George and George Pransky. I'm happy to send you guys links. The idea is very simple. Why are we happy on Purim? Why are we happy every day? Rabbi Nachman says very simple. You don't need a reason to be happy. You're breathing. You're alive. You're a neshama. You're happy. That's it. You don't need any external stuff. A lot of times, and God, listen well. Listen with your heart to today's little shir. A lot of times we think we need to do extra things in order to get to happiness. And a little bit, that's why this whole shir is a little bit of a lie. Because I'll do a little gratitude, I'll do a little emuna, I'll do a little to-do list, I'll do a little this, and a little giving, and I'll get to happiness. And all that is true, and it's right, and it certainly helps. But the truth is, sometimes people walk in with a fundamental misunderstanding of the human psyche. And they think that we're broken. They think that we have a problem. We need to figure out how to get to this place called simcha. But says Rabbi Nachman, and I think the only way of you knowing this is true is experiment with it and see and look for yourself. Your brain naturally goes back to happiness. You are a soul. We're all divine beings. And a soul is whole, as Rav Aaron would say. And because a soul is whole, you don't need to figure out happiness. What happens, though, is we think we have to figure out happiness and we mess everything up. Because everyone is a habit. We start thinking, oh, how do I get it? I start thinking and putting pressures on myself. And this is, and I had a negative emotion. I'm sad. I'm not supposed to be sad. Why am I sad? How do I get out of sad? We have all these emotions. But as we said before, where do really emotions come from? Where do emotions come from? Anybody remember?
Western culture.
No. Emotions don't come from Western culture. Where do emotions come from? Yes, but even not so from right now. Where do emotions, just psychologically, where do they come from?
Brain.
Yitzhara. Could be. That was a pretty firm answer, though. I'm looking for simple. It comes from our thoughts. Our emotions come from our thoughts. Our thoughts bring our emotions, and our thoughts are just thoughts. They're just thoughts. They just come through our head. They're just things in our brain. Sometimes we have happy thoughts. Sometimes we have sad thoughts. And the problem is we take them so seriously. Oh no, I'm having a negative or this thought or that thought or an angry thought. And it's like, yeah, you're a human being. Thoughts come through you. And then we try to figure out how to never have negative thoughts and never have negative experiences. But really, it's just part of being a human being is to have negative and positive experiences. But here's the crazy thing. It's like you have a car that knows how to get back to cruise control. It knows automatically. you don't have to do anything. Has anyone ever had an experience like this where like you were really sad or upset and nothing in particular happened and then you just were okay? Like you went back to natural well-being? The truth is, even crazy people are naturally okay. Even people in jail are naturally okay. Everyone has the ability to be naturally okay, and you don't have to do anything about it. That's the crazy shtick here. You don't have to do anything. Just be. Again, exercise and do gratitude and have a munah and daven dasha and all these things, for sure they help. But the amazing thing, and I think this is mamish ben hafuchu, the Purim Torah, of the Purim Torah, when we're singing and dancing and going crazy tomorrow morning to think about this, God built you happy. Little babies are happy. You're going to have emotions, you're going to have ups and downs, but you're going to go back to your natural well-being, which is who you are. All right, that's my simcha thought for the day. I'd love to just share with you one Purim thought, and then I'll teach you a song, okay? Because I like doing that. It's fun. Yeah, but you have a question.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
The other night I was feeling a little bit down.
Mm-hmm.
For a reason, I go to a music board, and I was walking in Aruba, and this guy came up from the
hotel. He's like, and wow. Okay. I would only metaken him and say, it's okay to be atzu. There's nothing wrong with having negative thoughts go through our brain. What happens is that we get scared of being atzuv and we think we're going to be in that forever, and then we confuse ourselves and we don't let our system go back to its natural neutral thought. Your neutral thought, when you're not reacting, knows the answers to the questions in life. You know all the answers. You just got to get back to thinking calmly. And you will get there if you don't make yourself crazy by always trying to... You just need patience. And it's okay to be sad sometimes, because when you're sad, you're going to soon go back to happy. Very soon. Okay. One idea about, not so completely unrelated, but I just had to share it, Charvona. I love talking about Charvona. Who is Charvona? When do we mention Charvona?
The
end of the Megillah. So watch this. The end of the Megillah, there's a bracha that Chazal enacted in the Gemara 2,000 years ago. And in the Gemara says, I have to say, Baruch Mordechai, Ar Haman, that makes sense. And Gam Charvona, Zachar Latov. We have to remember Charvona. 2,000 years later, don't forget Charvona. It's really important. Every Jew, at the end of Megillah tonight, remember Charvona. And the question is, Charvona is the guy that kills Haman. He's a side character. Why the heck do we have to remember Charvona 2,000 years later just because he happened to be the guy that was there at the right place at the right time to get Haman hung in the ninth chapter of Megillah? What's the pshat behind Charvona? It's fun to talk and sing about him, but like, what's the deeper pshat? Has anyone here heard an idea of what's the pshat behind Charvona? Okay, so Chazal say Charvona is Eliyahu Navi. What does that mean? It means like this. Charvona appears twice in the Megillah. In the ninth chapter, when Haman's down on the floor and Esther's about, you know, and then Ahasuerus walks in the room and Charvona says, kill him! Hey, we have a tree to kill him on. And then there is in the second chapter where Charvona is one of the seven ministers who get Vashti killed, who suggest that Vashti get taken down. Okay? So both times, Charvona, which is interesting, his name's like Cherev, is like a sword. He gets Haman killed, and he gets Vashti killed. Now, put yourself in Charvona's head. If you're a Charvona, why are you walking in to kill Vashti, you know, get rid of Vashti, or to kill Haman? What's your intentions? What are you thinking?
Do what the king says.
Do what the king says.
To get rid of evil.
Maybe get rid of evil. On a simple pshat level, you have your political reasons. Whatever. You don't like Vashti, you don't like Haman. I don't know exactly why Charvona did what he did. But he happens to be at the right place, at the right time, twice. And he happens to be the guy that, even though he's trying to just do his thing, he ends up bringing salvation to the Jewish people. Right? Because he ends up getting Vashti replaced, which gets Esther, and he ends up getting Haman killed, which ends up saving the Jewish people. So what? So the idea of Charvona is that there's so many things in our life where we're doing our thing for our reasons, and he's doing his thing for his reasons. By the end of the day, who's running the show? Kadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Avim Otcha. Agadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Avdim Otcha. Agadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Avdim Otcha. Agadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Avdim Otcha. So I want to teach you one song before we end, okay? I don't know if you know it, but it's fun to learn a song, and then you can practice tonight at the Megillah. It'll be really fun. It goes like this. Begam 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 to see the harvon, to see the ashkacha practice in our life, in the good times, in the bad times. Should have an amazing party.